You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's Thursday, and it's actually the every other Thursday, which means that during the first hour, we'll be doing the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. We're going to be talking about overcoming unexpected obstacles. Everybody on this panel is overcoming obstacles right now, and we are still looking to make some sort of progress. We're going to talk about that and wherever that leads us. Then later in the show, we'll be joined all the way from Munster, Germany, where it's getting cold now, by Adele Musa as we do the Subversity Science Roundup, where Adele Musa applies the Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. Okay, welcome back to the roundtable discussion, Coach Johnson.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Good to be with you guys.
That's right, Merry Christmas. And welcome back, Rob Regish.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody out there listening.
There you go. Sesame sales are through the roof, thanks to you.
Wish I sold it, right?
Yeah, I know, right? Rob does the blueprint tip of the day, and he sent me the headers the other day for the interview, and I'm like, Sesame, I haven't thought about this since we were on the Avent Labs board, where it was so popular back in the day. Rob is like the Lazarus of the supplement industry. He brings things back to life by talking about them on the show. So anyway, okay. Let's face it. Unless you are in your 20s and 30s, you don't have a family, you're satisfied with living a nomadic type lifestyle where all you do is train, eat, and sleep, which there are people that have the luxury of doing that or the desire to do that. There are constantly, daily, and sometimes longer term obstacles that get in the way of your progress. More recently, Coach Johnson had a mishap in the gym where 800 pounds that he was preparing to squat came down and hit him in the back of the leg. And that, you know, think about that for a second. 800 pounds hitting you in the back of the leg. Rob Regish and I share some history together in some of the perils of living this life as a man in the United States and a husband, and how those things can throw a curveball at you where life wants to consume you, and going to the gym and training and eating right, really? I don't think you have time for that. You're fighting for your life. And then there's me, the old guy on the panel who, you know, I mean, I try not to admit it to myself, but I am aging and, you know, my joints just don't work like they used to, and my body doesn't want me to punish it like it used to, and so there's always these opportunities for me to find workarounds. So let's start off, first of all, ironically, I want to start off with Rob Regish, because I have to say that while physical injuries may not predispose people, I hear it more often than not when I say to people, how you doing, how's your training, they always say to me, inevitably, you know, life is getting in the way right now. The distractions from just, you know, work and family or the dissolution of a family, I just don't have time to train. How do you even stay motivated, Rob?
You know, for me, it boils down to it was training was the one thing that was always in my control. And a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today, accidents, illness, injury, life events.
Divorce, the loss of a spouse, anything, name it. Right.
Relationship going sour, you know, those things are clearly out of your control most of the time. What always struck me as the beauty of weight training was that is something that is 100% entirely in your control, and the man in the mirror is the one that succeeds or fails. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but yesterday was probably the worst day of my life. But
we can say this about you, that the good folks at the courthouse decided that you were not entitled to things that you have worked for your entire life and you even owned before you got married. They decided, right. Hey, you know what, Rob? We think that you should give that stuff away.
Yeah, well, be that as it may, when it was over.
Hey, you're talking to a guy who left a 23-year marriage with 6 boxes of clothing and nothing more. Trust me, I bought a lot more stuff over those 23 years that I didn't get a crack at. So,
I'll tell you this. When it was over, I did not go home to sulk. I went right to the gym. And I performed 300 bodyweight squats in 19 minutes, which is not a world record by any stretch, but it beat my old mark by 50 reps. Now, you need to answer this question. Who in the world can take that away from you?
Yeah.
The answer is nobody. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that both you, Carl, and Wade, Frank Robles, Jordan Franz, and too many other people to name have been by my side through some very difficult times. So, you know, to me, to answer your question, it never was a question. I was going to train through this and gain through it no matter what happened.
Okay. Coach Johnson, how effective is harnessing anger and turning it into productive drive in the gym? You think that's really a good way to do it? Or do you think that's a risky thing to do?
Well, that depends on the individual and what their emotional makeup is, and quite honestly, what their spiritual makeup is. At least that's my belief. It's one of those things where things that make you angry can motivate you. I always caution everyone, if you're angry though while you're training, you a lot of times you get angry results, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. And usually the athlete that's really angry lacks control. It's a whole different one where that anger allows you to dial in, you know, that laser focus and keeps you motivated, you know, to where you block out the things, at least for that period of time, you know, that you're in your training session, you're blocking out whatever it is that seems to be the issue, you know, that pinpoints that anger. You know, so for me, having gone through some of the same things that you have, the two of you have, you know, it's, for me, the gym was always sanctuary.
Right.
And, you know, so I could come in angry and go out not as angry, you know,
right.
It was a source of relief, if you will. And, you know, and I'll admit, I mean, this is from a young man, you know, there was always a rage issue with me. And so learning, you know, discipline, self-control, and being focused is probably what not only has kept me out of jail, but probably still alive at this point. So, you know, having that outlet, you know, as well, because there was always the dangling carrot of I want to do these things with my strength career, but it was always in the back of my mind too that, you know, this is something that allows me an exercise that will allow me to maintain control where otherwise I wouldn't. So I can you harness that anger? I think yes, but you have to be careful exactly how that anger motivates you.
Okay, so Rob, what's a constructive way to harness that anger? Like, I have to admit that when I was going through my divorce, I would imagine the people who were opposing me, like when I was, you know, leg pressing, for instance, or deadlifting, I would imagine that the weight that I was using was somehow affecting them negatively. So if I was able to pull this rep, I could see them getting squashed by the weight or something like that. You think that's a stupid thing to do, or you think that's an effective use of harnessing anger?
No, I think that that's a very productive use of harnessing anger. You know, the alternative, of course, is what's unacceptable in today's society, which is pounding those people. But instead, you go to the gym, and as you're envisioning them, you're pounding the weights, which, let's face it, if everything goes according to plan, you emerge a physically stronger person, and I would add an emotionally stronger person. You know, you took a negative and turned it into a positive, which is really what we're talking about when we're talking about overcoming life challenges.
Yeah. And really, I think, you know, an injury has an end point quite often. You would hope, at least, unless it's, you know, such a severe injury. But life's challenges, they just transition. So today your challenge is this and tomorrow it's that. And I always hear people telling me about their stress. And I say, you know, stress is in the eyes of the beholder, just like beauty is. So your stress, however great it is to you, may not be what my stressor is, but my stress is just as great to me as yours is. My father used to have a saying. It's a really true saying that I've lived by. He used to say, if everybody on the street threw their problems out in the street and you walked out there, you'd end up coming home with your own problems. Because when you look at their problems, you go, well, I don't want that. And now I don't want that. I'll just take what I know how to deal with it back with me. So everybody's stressors are maybe different, but in our eyes, they're the same stress. So one guy is going through a divorce. Another guy is just arguing with his boss. It's still that stress. So staying focused during these life's challenges actually is beneficial. It like you said, Wade, the gym can be sanctuary. It can be church. How important is spirituality, you think, to getting through, Coach Johnson, getting through these types of life challenges? Do you think it's important to believe in a higher power that's at work?
I can only tell you, you know, what works for me, you know, and I, you know, I wouldn't call myself overly Christian or what, you know, whatever name you want to associate with it. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in a higher power? I certainly do. You know, and I always look around. One of the philosophies that I've had to acquire, and Rob and I have had some long conversations on the phone about this, is, you know, every day that you wake up and you're alive, you know, it's really easy to be overwhelmed with what can be going wrong in your life, and justifiably so. I mean, life can be really difficult at times. But I always took a moment to pause and look around and go, okay, what, no matter how minuscule, no matter how tiny, you know, what do I have to be positive about? What do I have, you know, what are my blessings? You know, and so I think, you know, being taught, you know, certain things, spiritually, you know, a lot of times you gotta look at what you have versus what you don't have. And, you know, those are the things that kept me going. I knew that, you know, I had a higher calling than just lifting some weights and doing my job, so to speak. And so, you know, when I look at what I'm blessed with, the ability to lift weights, that, you know, something that I'm so impassioned about, the ability that, you know, especially during this economy, to be able to own a home and own a gym and have a place where people like-minded can come and train. That may not seem real big on a grand scale, but for me, I mean, it's my entire life, you know.
Yeah.
And for at this point in my life, even, you know, to, you know, for Julia and I to find each other after 25 plus years and go, you know, we've been missing this for, you know, since I saw you last. You know, these are remarkable things and are life changing and is what makes life, you know, worth living. And so I firmly believe that someone's spiritual state of mind, you know, whatever that may be, I think it has a huge impact on not only their training, but every facet of their life.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up the discussion on community, because Rob Regish points out that, you know, he's got a lot of people on his side, a lot of people that are telling him, you know, that life goes on and you're going to be stronger and, you know, keep your chin up and all that sort of stuff. Maybe that kind of falls in line with the same concept of spirituality for those people out there who maybe aren't spiritual. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There are a few problems. products that I believe in, the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We published a press release this morning at 6 a.m., and it's getting a lot of reviews and a lot of responses on Facebook. The press release says, how old do you think this woman is? It's a picture of Elisa Profumo. Elisa has finally fessed up and admitted her age. She's kept this hidden from everybody, and rightfully so, because in the corporate arena, no matter how good you look or how good you perform, quite often age is held against women and holds them back. But she felt it was important to reveal her age because there's a lot of women who listen to the show and they need to understand that aging does not mean you must get illnesses and you must become overweight and you must get slower and, well, at least not for her. It does for me. But anyway, Elisa admitted that she's 53 years old and there's a press release up there and it's all over the internet now. It's been picked up by so many major, news outlets. Because it's obviously a good story for women to read. It's very promising. So I applaud her for her bravery and her honesty, and wish her nothing but the best. Okay. Now, how important is community? Rob, you have been going through an emotionally troubling time. I went through this several years ago And I did have a few people that I was able to call and kind of unload on once in a while. How important is community to keep you focused on your personal goals while you're being so distracted?
I think, you know, it's fair to say that it's different for everybody, but when times really get tough, I think virtually anyone is going to benefit from having a community of people, a network of people around you that you can talk to. And I've been literally overwhelmed by some of the things that guys in the Blueprint Army have done for me. You know, as an example, I had a gentleman that lives over an hour away, a customer of mine, call me up out of the blue one day, and he said, "Hey, listen, I just, none of my business, but I heard through the grapevine you're going through a rough time. I'd like to come out, you know, and talk to you if it helps." And not only did he drive, you know, he lives over an hour away. He came out here to see me on more than one occasion and spent hours and hours and hours with me, just, you know, trying to center me and understand what was truly important. And what's truly important at the end of the day is, you know, they can take everything away from you. They can take your money. They can take your home. They can take your car. They can even take your freedom. But if you have your health and your family, you know, the love of your, in my case, my son, you have everything in the world that you need.
And you focus on those things.
And you focus on those things. And when you have friends that are calling, emailing, and physically coming out to see you, great distances, you know, believe you me, it registers.
Yeah.
And it makes a profound positive difference.
That which does not kill you makes you stronger. It's a very, very true statement. It really, really is. How about you, Wade? Community. I mean, right now you have an injury that maybe the injury wasn't as much, a physical injury as it was maybe a mental injury. You think that there's any truth in that?
Well, I think there is. I mean, it definitely, when I went down with the weight, you know, especially when it wasn't an issue of I didn't go down with the weight because the weight injured me or I wasn't strong enough to do it. It was just a, you know, a freak snafu when we went to rack it. And it just put me in a state of mind that, quite frankly, it has taken some time to get over. I mean, the knee hurts, but hell, the knee was hurting before that. I mean, it hurt 4 weeks. The injury that this all stems from occurred about 4 weeks before the last meet that I did. So, and it's, you know, in some degree has been problematic. So it's not like the knee hasn't hurt before. But it put me in a mental state that, quite frankly, has taken some time to overcome. And then with the weight loss, especially now, I'm at a point now to where the leverages are so different. As opposed to training to get stronger, I'm training to, you know, locate, you know, where my leverages are, because all the things that I used to use and have for so many years just no longer exist. So, and as far as community, look at it like this. You listen to some of the things that Rob is saying and some of the things that you've experienced and the people that not only that you reached out to, but also, you know, reached out to you and look at the value of our training partners. I did an interview with one of my training partners, years ago when I first started riding, and one of the things that he said that I've always firmly believed in is your training partners are probably your biggest commodity in the gym. And that tells you the power of community, you know, especially like-minded people or, you know, or just people that feel strongly about you. I'm sure, you know, Rob and I philosophically are different on a lot of levels, but in doing this show and in the conversations that we've had, we find that there is way more common ground, you know, than is not. And so the strength of community there is not only when you're going through trying times, you know, but the everyday, you know, grind of life and how, you know, how these people help keep you grounded. You know, I squatted 900 pounds. Yeah, but you let your knee cave in. You know, let's look at it realistically. You know, those types of things are, you know, today I suck. Yeah, but you know, you traveled all weekend and you weren't able to eat well. You know, last week you hit this weight, you know, so it's going to, in 2 weeks it'll be fine. And, you know, or you're just going through a tough time when, you know, a little over a year ago when I ran into a tough spot, people that I trained with would come by, would not allow me to be alone at night. They made me go out to eat, or people I hadn't trained with would just show up. And again, that's where the sense of community is not only so strong, but has such a dramatic and positive impact, not only on our training, which is what we're talking about, but just, you know, our daily lives.
Well, and you know what? This is that time of year where all of the flaws and cracks in our family unit start to show up, because so many of us want that warm, loving family experience around the holidays. But the reality is some of us come from pretty dysfunctional backgrounds where, you know, maybe our parents are gone. Maybe we don't get along with our siblings. Maybe, you know, our siblings are ill as well. Maybe it's just not possible to have that connection with your children because of a divorce or whatever it is. And so this is a time right now where I predict people become somewhat depressed. And make no bones about this. Depression is not just a mental aspect. Depression is physical. It's physical, perhaps even more than mental. It's the lack of desire to move, the lack of energy, it's the lack of strength, and it affects you physically. So I predict that there are people out there today who are saying, look, I'm not going through a divorce. I haven't lost a spouse. I haven't lost a job. I'm blessed. But for some reason, I don't feel like I have my mojo. I don't know what it is. And I'm telling you what it is. This is the time of year where people apply expectations unrealistically. They drive themselves into the ground to go shopping and buy all these gifts. And it's very anticlimactic, and they just become depressed. And part of the depression is, I don't think I'm going to train today. I think I'm going to just take off. And you start feeling sleepy. You really do. You feel tired. Anybody here want to chime in on that concept?
Yeah, that's, you know, I'll second that and quite strongly. The, I can vividly recall about a month ago taking a week off, from training. And, you know, believe you me, it makes depression a lot worse. And if you think about it, there's a very logical, physiological reason for it. You know, when you train, endorphins are released. And yes, that may be transient, but still, let's face it, you know, a day with 2 hours worth of endorphins in it beats a day with no endorphins in it. And as those days and weeks pile up, depending upon what you choose to do or not do, you know, you're either going to wind up more depressed or, you know, less depressed, hopefully not depressed at all. Part of the reason I went straight to the gym yesterday was because I knew if I went home, there certainly weren't going to be any, there were no endorphins waiting for me there. You know?
Yeah.
But there were in the gym. So I went and found them, and I'm glad I did.
Okay. We have to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to put my own personal spin on this. Coach Johnson, please give your websites.
Excuse me. You can reach me on Facebook. I have Johnson Strength. And a personal one, excuse me.
Take your time. Good, I just
sorry
killed
about
your mic.
That.
No, that's okay, I killed your mic. Good.
No, sorry about that. Johnson Strength and a personal Facebook page, supersquat800@yahoo.com. Weightlifting Discussion is where our forum is. And for a brief while longer, we'll have the JohnsonStrengthGroup.com up, but that's next year. That's going to go through some dramatic changes. I'm not even sure what the address will be, but those are the places that you can find me.
And then to find out more about Rob Regish, there's two ways to do that. You can either go to Superhuman Radio and click the Blueprint banner ad to learn more about his training guide, the Blueprint, which now includes the Add 1 inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Training Session University course. Absolutely free. It's a $20 value. Or you can learn more about Rob by searching on Superhuman Radio for the banner ad for Mass Pro Synthogen, which is a wildly popular supplement And the only people who don't believe in Mass Pro are the people who have never used it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today. You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
How y'all feel out there? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy acquisition with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Ragish and me, Carl Lenore. And I'm going to try to contribute something, okay? So I'm 54 years old now, right? And I still train pretty hard, but I just can't train as hard as I did before, continuously like I did before. Now, part of it is because I have come down to a more realistic level of HRT, let's say. But the other part of it is, and the reason that I've come down to a more realistic level of HRT is because both my parents had a problem with their heart, and it seems to have visited me as well. Unlike my parents, I am not going the pharmaceutical route. I've spent hundreds of hours researching and understanding the mechanisms of the heart, and I feel that I can reverse it. It's not going to happen overnight. It's probably going to take a good year for me to change the cellular landscape of my heart. But during that period, I can't lift as heavy as I used to, and it's very depressing to me. I have to be honest. it's hard for me to justify doing body weight movements and doing lighter movements and relegating myself to more machine movements, even though I still handle much heavier weight on those machines than 90% of the guys at the gym. I still want to squat. I still want to deadlift. And right now I can't. And here's why. If I do heavy reps, I almost pass out. I mean, my heart rate drops so dramatically. The beat rate drops so dramatically because of a skipped beat phenomenon that I have to hold on to the uprights not to hit the ground. And I get that woozy feeling. My head starts to vibrate and things start getting faded looking. And I don't want that to happen with, you know, 400 pounds on my back, obviously. So I have to be sensible. So here's an obstacle. So in the past months that I've been dealing with this, I've had to decide, do I let this obstacle consume me or do I look at it for what it is and realize that a year from now I can be at a totally different place and be doing the things that I love to do. But in the meantime, it's hard for me to find the motivation to go into the gym knowing. And it, you know what? And chances are if I didn't want to squat and I didn't want to deadlift, it wouldn't matter. I'd be very happy with the workouts that I'm doing. And I am making progress, by the way. There are changes already occurring for me that show me that I am going in the right direction with this. But because I know I can't squat and I know I can't deadlift right now. I mean, I can light, but I can't heavy for reps. That it's very, very, it's very derailing for me motivation-wise. And so it finding the courage, I got to tell you, I'm not patting myself on the back, finding the courage to stay motivated doing things that I may not really want to be doing right now with the knowing that this is just for now and later there'll be something else is how I get through week in and week out right now. Anybody want to comment on that?
Well, I'm right there with you. When I have spent my entire career up until the last couple of years, you know, training for the next meet, you know, okay, what do I need to adjust where I can put on that extra 5 pounds that I know I'm going to need for leverage, so on and so forth. And, you know, when I finally hit the, you know, the goals that I had set, these lifetime goals, there was a huge, you know, once the meet was over, I didn't immediately start, you know, restricting my calories and everything, but there was a huge emotional letdown because there's a lot to be said for, you know, the road traveled, you know, when you become accustomed to that and that, you know, the next meet is no longer there, it is very hard, you know, to stay motivated. I knew I needed to train. I knew I wanted to train. And I knew that as I started the process of dieting down that I would want to compete again, you know, and have some goals, you know, that were going to be age-oriented and totaling a certain number-oriented and things of that nature. But I will tell you, and even this week, there is a certain level of frustration, and knowing what I know, I knew that I was going to, you know, face some difficulty, and I knew that, you know, a lot of strength was gonna fall away as, you know, not only am I going to be lighter, but I'm going to have to adapt, to all these different, you know, leverages that I've never lifted with before. And so it is very, very difficult, to temper all that. Injuries aside, you know, when you're accustomed to hitting a certain number of reps with a certain weight and, you know, now you're struggling with that weight to do half of the reps that you used to, I mean, it can be very disheartening. And on the flip side of that, you know, knowing that I couldn't stay 350 to 365 pounds for not only for forever, but not even, you know, much longer before I'm sure there would be, you know, be some adverse effects. You know, the thing that has kept me motivated is I know, you know, that if I hang in there, if I hang tough, if I put the time in, you know, that on the flip side that I'm going to be successful. And I just recently, last night, as a matter of fact, had this conversation with someone. You know, failure is not the end. Failure is a facet of something that successful people do on their pathway to be successful. The sad part is the failure without effort, failure without, you know, any motivation to accomplish anything. You know, I know that's what this is, a lot of philosophical stuff, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, look at Michael Jordan. Look at how many times, you know, people have talked to him about that, and, you know, how many foul shots that the guy missed, you know, that would have won the game. But look at what we remember. We don't remember that about Mike. We remember Mike soaring through the air and winning all those big games and things of that nature. And again, his failures are some of the things that he built on that made him so wildly successful. And the same holds true, you know, for us. I mean, look at what you're going through now. You know, look at the issues that you're facing. But in a year, you're going to be back to doing the things that, you know, you're putting in the work, you know, that gives you a platform to do what it is that you want to do.
Well, and then there's another aspect of this that I think that you and I could probably talk a little bit closer about, and Rob probably realizes it as well, but it's probably not as apparent to him. But at some point in time, just the way you came to the realization that, hey, I can't stay 365 pounds for very much longer, never mind the rest of my life, because, you know, I'm getting older and health becomes an issue. And for me, it's also made me examine, like, okay, that's why I've come up with all this. What's my end point to all this? Like, in other words, what are my goals for all this? Is it to grind myself into bone dust, or is it to actually have my training enhance my life, enhance my health, and so on? And as a result, I've had to start to recognize that part of the aging process may be that I am not going to be able to lift as heavy as often as I wanted to, because it is going to start to become counterproductive instead of productive. Do you ever think about that, Wade, about the aging process, and like, well, how much longer can I really do this? And if so, I'm not going to give up training. I'm going to have to start training differently.
Well, that's kind of, it's been in the last probably 6 months where you realize, you know, because all my career, you know, I hit my biggest lifts at, you know, 45 years old. And, you know, so you're thinking, well, gosh, all these people experienced this dramatic fall off in their late 30s, or, you know, it's like you turn 40 and everything falls to crap, you know,
right,
traditionally. And that just hasn't been the case for me. You know, my eyesight has changed. You know, I've gotten more gray as time has gone on, but, you know, I'm still big, strong son of a bitch at 45 years old and full of piss and vinegar. And, you know, it's been, especially in the last, I'd say year and a half, but especially the last 6 months, you know, and that's aside from, you know, being married and Julia, you know, I'm not pinning that on her. You know, I go downstairs every morning just like I always did, and I train, and I train hard. You know, and of course the weight loss, you know, has some impact, but I can tell that just, you know, across the board, mentally, emotionally, you know, the wear and tear, you know, throughout all the years, you know, it just takes a toll, and there's a price to be paid for that. And so it is one of those things where it's like, all right, I'm going to have to look at, you know, I need to coach my guys the way that I coach them, and I'm going to have to look at some things that I do and go, you know, how do I hold up? Because especially right now, it's not like I'm just training for a powerlifting meet and I hope to total elite at 308. You know, I'm preparing for the rigors of strongman training, and while I do Olympic training twice a week. And so, you know, that those things have to be tempered. It was one of those things this morning when I was doing my training, because I've added all this extra volume. When I was at my strongest and younger, this is what I did, and we all thought that was a lot of work, you know, and so I backed off and said, okay, for today, I'm going to do the work required and no more, because I've got to recuperate. And the thing is that if I'm going to be successful with this relationship, it requires, you know, like this weekend, we're driving from here to Akron, Ohio. It's about an 8-hour drive one way. And Julie and I travel very well together. We get in the car, we go, you know. But it's 8 hours.
Right.
We're going to, you know, and then we're going to spend a day with family, and then we're going to jump back in the car, and then we're going to drive back and get back probably sometime midday to late Sunday. And then at 5 o'clock Monday morning, my big ass is going to get up to the alarm, and I'm going to go downstairs and train. And the reality of that is, you know, I'm 47, not 37, and I'm going to have to practice what I preach. And one of the things, you know, you've got several people from the show that post this all the time. The only bad session, you know, is the one that you miss.
Right. You started that.
And, yeah, you know, so it's like, okay, you know, that's not really so cool now. But,
right.
but the fact of the matter is, the reality of the situation is, there is no, you can't travel as often as I do. You can't put yourself through the things as often as I do and try so hard, you know, to do the right things as a husband and as a father and a coach and a mentor. And those things not, you know, create, some issues for you. It's just the fact of life. It's not a negative. It's just the way things are. So Monday morning, I'm going to have to take, just like I've told you, like I've told Rob, like I've told so many people, we're just going to take what this session gives us and be consistent. And that's what's going to carry us through. And then when you get in the gym and you feel like you can, you know, throttle it up, then that's when we'll do it. You know, so it's really, it's made me keenly aware of practicing the things that I preach. It's easy to train when you feel good and you're strong, even if you're injured, you know, when everything feels good, but when you're exhausted or like we're talking about today, where you're having to overcome injuries and just life things that have such a widespread effect on your life. I mean, you know, these are the times where you really have to focus on, I'm going to go in, I'm going to be consistent, and I'm going to take what I can from it. I mean, I know that's a long pathway to answer that question.
No, it's good. You know, and this is what I anticipated this show of being. This show is about motivation more than anything else, and motivation comes from the mind, and the mind is driven by concepts. And so we have to talk about these things. We're going to do this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let Rob Regish get kind of the last word in here on the whole adjusting your training for aging, because we know that we have a lot of older guys in the audience too, as well as young guys. And you young guys are going to get old someday too. So maybe you want to carry this around for the next 20 years and then listen to it. You're listening to the Roundtable Discussion on Strength and Hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. Stay tuned. We're right back.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey ice
isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Director of Marketing and Sales for Superhuman Radio, Stephen Lay, just texted me. He said, I also think just because we did more back in the day doesn't mean we trained optimally for growth or strength. Training lighter and or lower volumes may have been better then and certainly is now. That's a good point. Just because I was able to do more back then doesn't mean I was doing any better justice to my body. Okay, Rob Regish. So, we all get older. And while we can definitely maintain amazing amounts of strength as we get older, is there a mindset adjustment that we have to be prepared for and where we say, look, you know what? I have to be prepared for this. I need to start looking at my training differently. Like Coach Johnson said, I got to train the guys this way, but I may have to train that way. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a fair point, and there is an adjustment in mindset that needs to be made, but there's also a slap in the face of this type of reality. You still need to take care of business. Meaning, if this is really who you are and what you care about, you will find a new challenge, a new way of doing things that'll still bring you an immense amount of satisfaction. And let me give you an example. I knew a guy, going back 2 years ago, who blew his back out. His entire self-worth was wrapped up in his squat, and needless to say, he was devastated. And he said, I'm just going to stop training. I said, yeah? What's stopping you from dipping with 150 or 200 pounds around your waist? So the point being, you may be down and out because of an injury. You may no longer have the joints due to age to handle the heavy poundages. But there are always ways to make progress and fulfill that need and that desire that should be inside you every day of your life that you get up, that you need to progress in some form or fashion in the gym, whether that's body weight training, whether that's powerlifting, bodybuilding, Olympic lifting, strongman training. Look at, I just rattled off, what, half a dozen?
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, is there a mindset adjustment? Yes. Does that absolve you of your responsibility to still take care of business? No. You better come up with a plan, and it's your responsibility to, if that's who you really are. And a lot of people will find out exactly who they really are when that time comes, and it's coming for all of us.
I'm finding out myself. I mean, I am starting to enjoy these different routines that I'm doing. I'm doing more, and I never thought I'd say this, but I'm doing more CrossFit-type workouts where I am incorporating resistance training and aerobic training simultaneously. I'm doing this using dumbbells, treadmill work, farmer's walks, body weight movements, and I'm doing things that keep me moving with weight on me. And it's not, and you know what, and it's not a 500-pound squat, and it's not a, you know, 500-pound deadlift, but it is equally taxing of the body in order to do this because you're doing it generally for time.
Does it still bring you satisfaction?
That's my problem. It does not bring me the satisfaction. You know, like, okay, so I like to do, you know, what I like to call sissy squats. I like to do squats on the power squat machine, okay? because I can really leverage my glutes and my hamstrings, and not have to struggle with the awkwardness that, that God decided to put my body together with, that causes me to have to squat, you know, in crooked angles just to keep the weight centered. But I can literally kind of be like a shock absorber in that machine, and I can push, I can load it completely where there's no room on the stems for any more 45s, and I can do, you know, 2 or 3 reps with that, and that makes me damn proud. And so
I don't get
that same sense of proudness from doing 15 minutes of 6 different movements with sprints in between. No, I don't.
I think that's a big part of the answer then that people need to get to is, you know, I need something that's going to provide me that same sense of satisfaction that I used to get with whatever, squatting 500 pounds. Okay, you know, you may no longer be able to squat 500 pounds, but, you know, you get to the point where you're able to do a single-legged squat holding a, you know, 50-pound dumbbell and another 25 or 40 on a weight vest, that's going to bring you, trust me, an immense amount of personal satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're the kind of person that needs other positive reinforcement from other people, one-arm push-ups, pull-ups, single-legged squats.
Yeah, I haven't even tried. You know what? That's a good point. Mm-hmm. The one-arm push-up is really a test
of
strength. Yeah.
You tell me, man, that turns heads in gyms, and it's a cool party trick.
Yeah. Remember Jack Palance, the actor? I don't even know if he's still alive. But he played in that movie with Billy Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember when he came out to accept his Oscar for that movie that he did with Billy Crystal? He played the old codger cowboy. And he came out on stage, and he dropped down and did like 3 reps of a one-arm push-up and jumped up because he wanted to show people that he was still youthful, he was still vital. That was so impressive. I still remember it. Look at that.
Yeah. And that's a perfect example of, he may not have been able to, you know, bench press 500 pounds or whatever it may be, but the man found a way to still perform something incredibly physically impressive that took a lot of hard work, and I'm sure he derived an immense sense of satisfaction from it, and I think we all need to strive for that. You know, the mindset adjustment is it just needs to be something different, but make sure you get that same sense of satisfaction and fulfillment.
Yeah. So the answer is keep training no matter what you can do. I like that notion of getting whatever you can out of that workout that day. That's it. I like that.
Well, I mean, it's a philosophy. I mean, you know, guys get sick, guys get injured, you know, whatever the case may be, probably the biggest challenge we all face is maintaining our consistency. That's really the secret. That, you know, that's really the magic thing that takes place versus, you know, programming a training protocol, the gym, whatever movements you may or may not do. Are you being consistent? That's really the big thing, and that's, you know, that's what keeps us in motion. You know, you see the people that are. I had to be at a funeral this week, of all things. The woman that passed away was in her early 80s, and there was a woman there that was 93 that was just as full. Now, she was old. I mean, she's 93. But one of the things that she said, and I'll try to make this quick, she recently had to have something done to her knee where she had to have some sort of injection. And she said it really hurt, so she asked the doctor. And remember, she's 93. Will I still be able to play the piano after this? And he goes, well, of course. And she goes, well, good. I've never been able to play the piano before.
Oh, that's stupid.
And so, I mean, but this is the wherewithal of someone. You know, if I said something like that, you'd go, oh, how clever. This is a 93-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's one of those things. I'm much more about burning out, you know, than I am fading away, you know, so keep that body in motion.
So, you know what? 10 years from now, we'll be doing this show. We'll call it the Old Guys Show, and it'll go something like this. Hey, Wade, I took a 5-pound dump today. It was unbelievable.
you gotta take it where you find it, brother.
All right. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for the insightfulness, the honesty. You know, that you can't ask for more from a show like this. Then the honesty, people bearing their souls, telling you the truth about how they get through doing what they do. And let's face it, we all do the same thing. We worship at the same place. It's your home gym. It may be a local commercial gym, but we all worship at the same place. and we strive to be the best that we can, and we want to do that as we get older. Guys, thanks so much for this show today, really.
Again, Merry Christmas, everybody. Always good to be with you guys.
All right. Take care, Rob. Take care, Wade. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I will have the brilliant Adele Musa all the way from Munster, Germany, as we do our Subversity Science Roundup. We'll be right back.
Supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest, produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered rare honey, or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to superhumanradio.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15. It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to AgeForce. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new AgeForce 8-Hour Delivery Multivitamin Patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce Multivitamin Patch banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Go, 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 G-Unit
in the mix.
Go, 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 go.
Hey, listen up to your local DJ
in the mix.
Everybody stand up.
Dance.
Everybody put your hands up. Let's party. Everybody stand up.
Disco.
Dance. Everybody put your hands up. Let's party. Everybody bounce with me. Some shit in the air. Party. Everybody.
Okay. Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with the brilliant and talented Adele Musa, all the way from Munster, Germany, where it's getting cold now. How you doing, Adele?
I'm freezing. No, not really. I've been freezing earlier today, but it's getting a little warmer, and the snow is about to melt, and that's really making me happy, because it's always a problem to get to work with a bike when snow has been falling and everything is icy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not crazy about winters. I like snow. I like to go sleigh riding, but then I want it to go away quickly. So, I think I prefer the warm weather than the cold weather. But then during the warm weather, I complain about the heat too. So anyway, okay, we've got lots of great stories to talk about. So let's get right to it. The first one talks about leptin and leucine and how they regulate protein metabolism. Let's talk about that one first, okay?
Yeah, that's actually quite interesting, because if you remember, we've been talking about the leptin being released when you exercise from the muscle a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And this recent study actually shows that this leptin that is released by the muscle itself could actually have an effect on skeletal muscle growth, because scientists were able to show that incubation of myofibers, so this is unfortunately not yet an in vivo study, but one that was done in the Petri dish, by incubating myofibers with leptin or leptin and leucine, they could effectively increase the fractional protein synthesis rate. And what's pretty intriguing is that in the absence of leptin, with just the leucine, they got an increase of about 15%, while the leptin alone elicited already an increase of about 10%, and both in conjunction were able to increase the protein synthesis even more. I think it should be about 30% increase. So the combination effectively doubled the increase compared to just one of them. And this is actually interesting also, because we've been thinking about leptin only as a sensor of body fat levels. And this specific study, which has just been published and has been conducted at the China Agricultural University, appears to suggest that the presence of leptin is at least facilitative, if it does not even have some sort of protein synthetic effect on its own.
Okay, so how can we use this to stimulate greater protein synthesis?
Well, I think it's pretty difficult to use it, because we don't really know how to boost leptin, but we do actually know from previous studies that leucine administration in and out of itself can actually increase leptin levels. And what it certainly does is it increases the leptin receptor expression on the myotubes. That means it renders the muscle cells more susceptible to the leptin signaling. And when you remember that back in the day, people started to see beneficial effects also on body composition in terms of fat loss in obese people when they just supplemented with relatively low amounts of leucine.
Right.
You could also argue that this could actually be an effect of suddenly getting a little less leptin resistant, because the main function of leptin actually is to increase fatty acid oxidation in the muscle. It is the opposing effects of insulin. Insulin blocks the oxidation of fatty acids and increases the storage of fatty acids, while leptin will, at the level of the myocyte of the muscle cell, increase the oxidation and decrease the storage. And that, in turn, a lower level of triglycerides that is stored in the muscle has been associated with an increase in insulin sensitivity. And we also know that leucine does have an effect on insulin sensitivity. It can increase it, especially in diabetic people or people with already impaired insulin sensitivity. So, in essence, this is just another argument to make sure that you get your leucine-rich protein sources in every day.
Well, what about just supplementing with leucine? I have a big jug of the amino acid isolate, exclusively leucine. Should I be doing that, or should I not do that? Because doesn't leucine have an insulinogenic response as well?
It can. If you take it on its own, it does not really have an insulinogenic response. But if you combine it with other nutrients, it can exaggerate the insulin response. But it's not that pronounced. And in essence, I'm not really sure how pronounced the effect will be by supplementing if your diet is already pretty rich in leucine. Because we are usually comparing normal, quote-unquote, normal people and their protein intake, which is mostly not exclusively from full protein sources, and at least not ones which are pretty high in leucine. And if you compare that to someone who is already training, maybe taking at least one protein supplement a day or eating protein bars or something like that, he or she will already have a pretty high amount of leucine. And maybe it is rather a reminder of trying to make sure that if you eat, for example, three square meals, that all of your three square meals contain this so-called threshold level of leucine, which is actually able to trigger protein synthesis on its own. So that you, for example, you would have it in, say, 20 grams of whey protein.
Right.
Or a medium-sized steak, for example. What would not work that good is the protein, for example, that is in potatoes. And many people still calculate their protein intake by really using one of those tools which will obviously give you each and every milligram of protein you have, for example, in the rice you eat. And generally, when I recommend or I say something about macronutrient intakes, I'm not so so fixated on the exact values of each and every food item.
Right.
Because somebody who's getting real foods will never have the exact same macronutrient ratios in them. For example, in a piece of meat, the macronutrients, the amount of protein will vary slightly, and especially the fat content can vary pretty significantly. So it's more like combine this food item with this food item, because, you know, this is a high protein, high leucine food. And this one is, for example, my carbohydrate sauce. I combine it with, and add as a fat maybe coconut oil or whatever. This works much better, and it also leaves you much more room to really treat your diet in a way that makes it work in everyday life and keeps you sane and not calculating everything.
Okay. All right, let's do this. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I think we're going to be contributing more to the discussion that we started last show about PGC1 alpha, it looks like, with this recent study. We're talking with Adel Moussa. He is the author of Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com, the single best blog on the internet to get the truth and accurate information about science that is breaking and how it will affect you in your goals of building muscle, burning fat, and staying young. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leave.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with the new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
It's estimated that the majority of multivitamins simply get flushed down the toilet due to poor digestibility. Well, that's all changed thanks to Age Force. Now you can get 16 of the most important essential vitamins combined with 6 of the most effective antioxidants directly into your bloodstream with a new Age Force 8-hour delivery multivitamin patch. And for a limited time, get a buy one, get one free on this groundbreaking new patch. This patch is sure to change the way people take their vitamins. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force multivitamin patch banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is the Subversity Science Roundup, where Del Musa applies the Subversity Sniff Test to science in the news. Science that should be important to you. Not the kind of stuff you get from the mainstream media. And certainly none of the stuff that you get from The Wizard of Oz, which changes by the day. Okay. Last week we talked about some exciting research that both you and I stumbled upon about PGC1 alpha and its ability to build muscle and strength. And we have more information because of the protocol that was used in that research, correct?
Well, in a way, that's the case. Because people were really arguing about whether it would be a good idea or whether it would even be, maybe even be necessary to do cardio before you actually lift weights. And you had the at least I think, a good idea that this could really be part of the effect that the depletion of glycogen would increase the beneficial stress during exercise and thus increase the expression of this protein, which has been shown to increase muscle growth. And as if the scientists had observed or listened to the dialogue, there's just been published a paper in the December issue of the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research, which tackles the idea of cardio training and lifting in one session once again. And what they did was that they compared the acute neuromuscular and endocrine response to two different protocols, one doing the endurance exercises first and the other one doing the lifting first. And as far as endurance is concerned, this is actually quite similar to what the subjects in the study we've been talking about last week did, because they exercised for 30 minutes continuously at 65% of their VO2 max. The guys in the last week were exercising slightly faster at a higher intensity. But in this particular study, there was a limit in terms of RPMs, so they must not go beyond 70 RPMs, rounds per minute. So I think that they are pretty much comparable. And the resistance training regimen was actually quite interesting because it consisted of starting out with very rapid and explosive three sets of 10 and continued with heavy lifting, three sets of 3 repetitions, and then a regular, what you would usually call a hypertrophy-oriented protocol with 4 sets of 10 repetitions. And the rest times between those exercise, the individual sets, which were conducted, unfortunately, only for the legs on a leg extension machine, were 3 minutes. So they had more than enough rest in between. And still, there was a real significant treatment effect in terms of the outcomes as far as the hormonal effects of the sessions are concerned. And if you look at the exact values, there's especially a drop in testosterone levels in the recovery phase in those who did the cardio training first. So what we've been arguing about last week in terms of an increase in stress, in positive stress,
right,
could actually have turned out to be too much of an increase in positive stress here, as it appears, if you go by the testosterone levels. What's interesting, though, is that both groups recovered within 24 hours, or at least in 48 hours, fully recovered in terms of their neuromuscular fatigue. So really those changes, those hormonal changes due to a workout are much are longer lasting than the acute neuromuscular fatigue, which does also tell you why you can still run into an overtrained state, even if you feel that your muscle itself may be up to the challenge already. Your body, and especially your endocrine system, may not have recovered fully, because aside of the decreases in testosterone, there were in both groups also significant decreases in thyroid hormone levels, as well as increases in creatine kinase. And those were statistically significantly greater in the ones who did the endurance exercise first. Creatine kinase is an enzyme that recycles the used creatine, and if it leaks from the muscle into the blood, this is a sign of tissue damage. So this would in turn actually support the hypothesis that doing endurance training before your strength workout is sort of an intensity technique. And in response to the increased stress, you get the positive sides, maybe, the increase in PGC1 alpha 4. On the other hand, you will have to incorporate a longer recovery phase.
Okay, so if you had to come up with a prescription, knowing what you know from the PGC1 alpha study, also from the discussion that we had with Pertesh on his work with the astronauts, the fastest way, the easiest way, the most predictable way to increase muscle gains in zero gravity, which he was the we started this whole discussion with him talking about, you know, cardio training first and actually focusing on cardio training of the body part specifically. So if you're trying to make the upper back and the chest grow, then you should also focus your pre-workout cardio on that area of the body, which leads to your estimation that it perhaps has some linkage to glycogen depletion within the muscle. So we're putting this all the dots together. If you had to give someone a prescription based on what you understand of all of these studies and the intersecting points, would you say that they could do moderate 30 minutes of cardio pre-workout, then do their resistance training with a hypertrophy approach, you know, 4 sets of 10 reps or the 10 to 12 rep scheme for the greatest degree of muscle gains and strength?
I would say that it depends on the training frequency. If you take a full day, 2 days off afterwards, I suppose it will work. And you will also have to be careful to really replete your glycogen stores as soon as possible after the workout, because I did some follow-up research on this study to really find out what actually is or could be the reason that the testosterone levels drop. We all know they increase right after the workout.
Right.
But 24 hours later, they are low. And when they are low, this is actually not in not in acute response to the training, but it must be related to a downregulation of luteinizing hormone in the hypothalamus. And we know from other studies and also from pretty detailed monkey studies that have been done on monkeys that even a one-day fast and things that deplete liver glycogen or induce hypoglycemia or a state in which no glycogen reserves in the liver can deliver energy very fast can also induce those decreases in luteinizing hormone. So it would at least be advisable to really replenish your glycogen stores after a workout like this, because the depletion of glycogen that happens during the workout, and this is due to the combination of both, could may be beneficial in the short term, on the short term, but can actually come after you when you are not going back and trying to get the glycogen levels back up. And what's quite interesting here is that it appears as if this is not really a matter of muscle glycogen, but rather a matter of liver glycogen levels, because those appear to be involved in the regulation of the hormonal cascade, and also, of course, in the regulation of blood sugar levels much more than the actual reserves in your muscle, which are not really available for your brain, for example, as a fuel. And if you think about it, then in the short term you have all those norepinephrine and short-acting stimulating hormones, which will really increase the depletion of glycogen both in the muscle as well as in the liver. And in the longer term, you have cortisol, and you can have growth hormone do the same job. But if you look at the etiology of chronic overtraining syndrome, then one of the interesting features is that usually people have plenty of growth hormone and still stagnate because they can't do anything with it, as their liver has simply stopped making IGF-1 from it, and all the same goes for the target tissues. And the liver has really a fundamentally important role in all of that. It can clear, for example, your testosterone levels, or can have you pee out your testosterone, you could say.
Right.
It can convert it. It can clear the estrogen. So it's really underlooked that although the liver does not really produce the fundamental basic hormones, it can decide, or it is a very decisive factor in how much of them is left in your circulation. And to give you a totally unrelated example, it's pretty common knowledge that people with who have an alcoholic liver disease and get really chronic hepatitis, they oftentimes men develop gynecomastia
right.
in response to that. And why is that? Because the liver does not clear the estrogen anymore, because it does not really work properly. And this is another example for why if the liver senses that there is something amiss, then it will do it will take the right steps in order to decrease the specific conversion. Also, for example, of T4 to T3, thyroid hormone. And in conjunction with the downregulation at the hypothalamic level, which is actually in response to fluctuating and low glucose levels, this can lead to the decrease in luteinizing hormone and will leave you with low testosterone levels.
It sounds to me that this approach really depends on adherence to proper recovery time.
Recovery time and nutrition, yeah.
Yeah.
And in essence, this may sound as if this was a male topic, but if you have women who develop amenorrhea in response to overtraining there. So they are not menstruating anymore. This just goes to show you that in women, they may not be as more susceptible, but the real problem is that their hormonal system is more complex. So in a man, when you lower your luteinizing hormone, for example, due to eating nothing for 2 days, just a single refeed will bump you up back. And in women, this does not really happen because once they are out of this synchronized cycle, they are in real problems. So this is nothing only men have to watch, because we are talking about testosterone. This goes for all the other hormones, which are regulated at the hypothalamic level by luteinizing hormone.
Interesting. Very interesting. We have.
And interestingly enough, I found a study. This is one of those monkey studies where they were actually able to show that in those scenarios, HCG works wonders, because it does function like luteinizing hormone, and it will restore the testosterone levels pretty effectively in quote-unquote starvation situations. It's quite interesting that we usually don't think about it like starvation, but every time your brain senses that there is not enough energy for it, it will say, I'm starving, and it will take the appropriate measures. And also, if you're insulin resistant at the level of the brain, it will be starving in abundance. That means there may be too much glucose. You may have hyperglycemia, and it still can't get the glucose in. It will therefore be starving. So this will have the same detrimental effect as starving yourself.
Interesting. Yeah, you know what? And it's amazing. You know, I wonder how periodic intermittent fasting plays into that. I mean, obviously you couldn't train like that and incorporate intermittent fasting on top of it. It sounds to me it would be reckless.
Well, it will be difficult, but as I said, especially for men, it has been shown that one meal can reinstall the normal level, and this would only leave you if you're intermittent fasting, for example, for 16 hours, your testosterone level will not drop immediately. And if you refuel right after your workout, the actual phase in which you are at risk of being low in testosterone is actually pretty short. Because it's not the case that when you're not working out, you are hardly able to really deplete your liver glycogen stores. Because there's always your adipose tissue as a source, and as a source for gluconeogenesis, and also protein, which could readily be catabolized. The problem really arises only in the context of too much energy expenditure in too short of time. So in those scenarios, you really deplete the glycogen levels in your liver so much that it will have a really, really hard time to get them back up, and even to manage to get to have your blood sugar stabilized in the time afterwards.
Adele, what's your this was not planned in this particular discussion, but what's your opinion of high fiber carbohydrate sources for tricking the body into thinking that it has adequate amounts of carbohydrates for these biological processes to reset? But yet it really doesn't contribute to much in the way of glucose synthesis.
Well, in a way it will depend on what your liver is doing with it. You will of course have the problem that it takes very long to get the energy out of it. As long as you do have the energy and give your body the chance to really use it and convert it, you can get the levels back up. But a better strategy really appears to have some fast carbohydrates, at least a minimal amount to avoid certain or to kickstart maybe the refueling process.
Right.
And what's quite interesting is that there is something that really would argue in favor of fruit over other fast carbohydrate sources. Because it happens to be, and I know that people don't want to hear that, but it's just the case that fructose is preferentially used to replenish the glycogen stores in the liver, while glucose is preferentially used as a to restore the glycogen stores in the muscle tissue. So if you have done a workout which may have or which has depleted not just muscle glycogen but also liver glycogen, the natural combination of glucose and fructose, as you will get it in fruit, is actually quite beneficial. And even at least in endurance athletes, the combination of two glucose units to one fructose unit has been shown to replenish muscle and liver glycogen faster than just plain glucose. So it's not that fructose is always a bad guy. On the other hand, this does tell you that you are in problem and that you are running into problems when your glycogen levels of the liver are already topped off, because the only thing your liver can do with the fructose then is to produce triglycerides from it.
Yeah.
Then you end up having trouble. And most people who consume plenty of fructose in a very short amount of time in forms of, for example, high fructose sweetened beverages never deplete the glycogen store of their liver because they don't even move all day long.
Right. All right, we have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion a little bit further about the reproductive access to a single missed evening meal in young male adults. So we're going to pick up this discussion again a little further about dietary intake and its effect on your biology. We're talking today with Adele Moussa, author of Supversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. Why don't you visit there during the break? We'll be right back.
Peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. BioAdvantech Pharmaceuticals produces the highest quality pharmaceutical grade in acetylcysteine in an advanced effervescent delivery system. NAC has been clinically shown to improve performance, reduce fatigue, and increase power output. NAC is ideal for the high intensity interval training athlete as it is shown to reduce respiratory fatigue. BioAdvantech PharmaNac has the highest bioavailability of any supplement in its class. Buy one, get one free of PharmaNac when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the PharmaNac banner ad. PharmaNac, there's nothing else like it. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous. And this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
This girl, oh my talk, oh she a go make me run. When me pop it, she ball be cree.
Welcome back to the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. Okay, we've talked about on the show the importance of libido and the reproductive ability of humans as an indicator of overall health. So, Adele, you found this study that shows changes in the reproductive cycle of young men based on missing meals. Talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, actually, this was part of the follow-up study I did to get a better grasp on the topic we've been talking about before. And I found it quite interesting that for long, we have been told that you should not eat before you go to bed because this will make you fat and it's only detrimental and so on and so forth. And if you want to skip a meal, best skip the dinner instead of the holy breakfast, which is still considered to be so important by many mainstream dietitians. And this particular study, which is already 2 years old, was able to show that just a single missed evening meal in young adult males was able to really lower the salivary testosterone levels on the next morning by roughly, let me see, I think this should be around 10%. So the interesting thing is that they observed during the night lower luteinizing levels, and at the same time, what I've been mentioning before, a greater urinary excretion of testosterone. So this was a two-way effect, if you will. On the one hand, there was less testosterone produced due to the fact that the body recognized that there is not an abundance of energy as it would like it during the night. And on the other hand, the liver started to clear more of the testosterone. And interestingly enough, the cortisol response, it did vary slightly, but it was not like you would usually think that all this happened due to the bad cortisol, but it was relatively independent of the increase in cortisol at night, which was not even statistically significant.
So is it just our biological response to famine, you think, the chronic effect of or the momentary effect of the lack of food at a feeding time that the body thinks it should have had?
I think this could be a factor, of course, but these young men were obviously not they usually would have had dinner, so this could be an effect of circadian rhythm being disrupted, and therefore the circadian rhythm is not just controlled by light exposure, but also by food. And if you change your dietary habits as drastically as beginning to start skipping meals or to start an intermittent fasting regimen, for example, it may take some time until your body really accommodates for that. And some of those highly synchronized or chronically regulated cycles, they will take their time to adapt. And it could actually be that this would pass after maybe 2 or 3 days if you really continue to supply your body with enough energy. Not so much if you just started skipping meals in order to create a caloric deficit and maybe this would be the largest meal of your day, usually dinner, and you just skip on that, then you are obviously running the risk of having longer-lasting deteriorations in terms of the reproductive axis. But in essence, this segues back to what I've been saying before and to the extensive studies that have been done in monkeys, which really showed, in that case, they were able to show that when they starved the monkeys for a complete day, the testosterone and the luteinizing levels really dropped. And they stayed rock bottom, and the luteinizing pulses were almost non-existent until the monkeys were refed. And it took only about 2 or 3 hours to really reinstigate the normal pulsatile luteinizing hormone level. And the extent and the speed at which this happened really depended on the amount of energy, and not so much the nutrient composition of the refeed meal. In this particular study, they tested only one composition, which was obviously high in carbohydrates. But we know from real human data that supplementing relatively low amounts of carbohydrates to a diet which induces this sort of starvation mode does not really solve the problem if you are still below a certain threshold level of caloric intake.
Okay. So, in summary to this research and the previous research that we've been discussing, it sounds to me like having a meal late in the evening is actually important. Whether it be a big meal or not, you should absolutely, and that kind of is, it's not confusing, but it changes my opinion, because I generally start, when I'm going to do an intermittent fast, I generally have my last meal around 7 o'clock and don't eat again until after my workout, which generally is at least 14 hours to 15 hours later. Do you think 7 o'clock is late enough, or you think that I am actually causing a two-step forward, one-step back type of an effect here?
No, I think that's perfectly fine. But you must consider that those young men would probably have had lunch at 1 p.m., and I don't know, most people don't really eat much in the meantime, and then they skip dinner, which would usually have been probably at 6 or 7.
I see.
And this results in the actual problem. On the other hand, when we are talking about intermittent fasting, I generally recommend skipping breakfast, because most people find it easier to do it this way, to stand up and stay in fat-burning mode, if you want to say so, instead of having breakfast and then trying to starve yourself for the rest of the day. And since most people also train later in the day, this allows them to have their first meal immediately after a workout. So I'm not really a fan of Ari Heffenreich's strategy of starving yourself after a workout in order to use the growth hormone response, because I'm well aware that this growth hormone is of no value to you when you don't do anything with it. And if you look at those poor overtrained athletes and their ridiculously high growth hormone levels and what's happening with them, you see that growth hormone per se has no value. It's a way of your body to try and accommodate to the nutrient deprivation and to burn more fat.
Right.
This be the case, but it's not anabolic or anything like that. So if anything, it could be a positive effect. It could have a positive effect if you are trying to diet really hard and to lose body weight. Then maybe it may be a good idea to really try to elucidate growth hormone responses by starving yourself. But otherwise, I don't think that it's really advisable, especially not if your main goal is to really build muscle. And in that case, I would recommend to have a complete meal after, or have maybe a protein shake with some fruit after the workout, and a complete meal afterwards when you are going home, prepare a complete meal, and then see how the day goes. And in essence, the meal in the evening has already been shown by Israeli scientists to cause a shift in high leptin levels, or a time shift in phase shift in high leptin levels to a time point that is in the night when your body can really burn late in the night when your body then will really start burning fats for fuel. And if you then skip breakfast, or in the Israelian study, they did not really skip breakfast. They had, I think, something like coffee with cream, or at least a very low amount of carbohydrates, and the major total energy intake and also a carbohydrate intake in the evening, which is totally contrary to what you usually hear. This was a perfect diet strategy, and not just for an athlete, but in this case that were police officers who were obese. And they really were able to lose quite some weight, and especially body fat on this particular type of diet.
What do you want to jump to now, Adele? I know that we have a lot to cover here. You may have some things that you want to move on to.
Well, I think one study that really surprised me, and actually has also something to do with the study from last week, because it's just another way of how muscle can hypertrophy, deals with the effect of NOS, which is nitric oxide synthesis, that is the enzyme that really uses arginine as a substrate and produces nitric oxide.
Right.
And it has been shown by scientists from the Department of Molecular Therapy in Kodaira, Japan, that this particular process is actually involved in the hypertrophy response to loading. And in this case, this was the exact same type of loading we've been talking about last week, where they stitch up the leg of a mouse or a rodent for a couple of days and wait until it's totally detrained, if you will, and then reload it in order to produce a hypertrophy response. And what the scientists observed was that this particular activation of the nitric oxide pathway was able to increase the intracellular calcium influx, and that subsequently triggered the activation of the hypertrophy response. So this does actually go to show you that nitric oxide does play a role, and people who have listened to the Amino Acid for Superhumans radio series we've done in the past will probably remember that incubation with arginine also was able to increase the activation of satellite cells and even beginning hypertrophy. So it's not really the case that that arginine is totally useless, but the problem is that supplying arginine is like putting building blocks in front onto the greens and waiting for a house to be built on its own. So without the enzyme, and this appears to be activated by exercise, nothing will happen. So in the end, you will still have to train, and you probably don't even have to eat additional or to supplement additional amounts of arginine, because there is actually plenty of arginine in most foods you will already eat if you are trying to build lean muscle. So this does not really argue for arginine, and this actually is not really the most intriguing point of this study, because what the scientists also did, allegedly in an in vitro study, was that they exposed the muscle fibers to capsaicin, the stuff from peppers, the hot stuff from peppers. And this is an agonist of the same target, which increases the calcium levels in the cell, that is also activated by the nitric oxide cascade. And what happened without training was skeletal muscle hypertrophy. And when I read that, I thought about now the next best former Sintol user now trying to inject capsaicin into his triceps or biceps in order to make it grow. But I think on the one hand, it's not sure that this will even work. On the other hand, I think it will hurt jet lag crazy and could have fatal effects. So I would really, I really don't recommend doing that. But on the other hand, it would be interesting to see if you could, over weeks, for example, see an effect of topical treatment with capsaicin, which has, interestingly, actually been shown to increase fat loss.
Do you think that there's any benefit to these PDE5 inhibitors, or is this a different type of nitric oxide production response that is tissue-specific and could not benefit performance or muscle growth or any of those sort of things?
You mean the PDE5?
PDE5 inhibitors, you know, like Cialis, Viagra. There's a lot of there's a lot of emerging science now that they may increase neuronal sprouting. All the things that we know nitric oxide is famous for, such as upregulating vascular endothelial growth factors and brain neurotropic defining factors and even fibroblast growth factors, which have an ability to make new collateral nerve sprouting, they seem to be able to do. Are these more advanced, very, very predictable nitric oxide producers that are used, which originally came out for to lower blood pressure, ironically, but have found their way into the erectile dysfunction market? Do you think that there's any merit to those in getting the same or attaining the same benefits that seem to be so elusive with just L-arginine supplementation and so on?
I think it is, because on the one hand, you have we have to state that these effects were only in the presence of exercise. So with the nitric oxide, this works only in the presence of exercise.
Right.
The capsaicin is different. This does actually increase it directly. Only the combination of nitric oxide and exercise produces those gains. And I think there are already studies which showed at least a slight increases in muscle mass in terms of training with concomitant supplementation, quote-unquote, with
right.
PDA5 inhibitors. So I think there is a chance of seeing benefits there. And there have also been studies suggesting that those real nitrous, I think they are called nitrous supplements in English. People with heart disease are really taking those.
You mean like nitroglycerin and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
In
very low doses in rats, that has already been shown also to augment the response to exercise. In terms of both the beneficial effect on the brain you mentioned, as well as the beneficial effects in terms of hypertrophy. I think that this is really a thing you have to keep in mind, though you also have to keep in mind that nitric oxide is also part of the inflammatory cascade. So it's not all, it is as so often Janus faced, that means it has a good side and a bad side, and you really want to be able to control where it is expressed and to which degree it is expressed. Although I'm not sure, I'm actually pretty sure that I have not heard about direct inflammatory effects of PDA5 inhibitors, those real nitroglycerin supplements, for example, cannot only induce low blood pressure, and even so low that you can have a heart arrest or something like that. They also have other nasty side effects, so these are certainly not safe. And I don't know if you can use Cialis to really see increased muscle gains, but I would say you don't have to be afraid that they hamper your training success.
Well, but okay, but now there's another question at hand. If they increase VNOS, which is the result of hemodynamic changes in venous and arterial pressures, is there a threat that they could actually be dangerous if you are, say, experiencing Valsalva and all of a sudden there is a in concert dramatic increase in nitric oxide production which then could systematically drop blood pressure at a time where you don't want to drop blood pressure. You think there's a risk of training with these PDE5 inhibitors inducing a hypostatic state of blood pressure and putting an athlete at risk?
I would say at higher doses, certainly, yeah. If you're already someone who's running around or who is prone to having problems like this, you could certainly run into even more pronounced problems. And even if you don't take supplements like this, you see that with longer lasting exercise, you have a high response in the antidiuretic hormone, which actually is partly a response to keep the blood pressure steady by holding more water, quote unquote, in the veins. So I think while you're working out, I'm not sure if it's really advisable to take them while you're working out or before you're working out in a very high dose. But if you're sticking to the same amounts you would use to get an erection, I don't think that it's really dangerous for someone who has not, who does not have any existing problems. But I cannot give real advice here. I can just
no. I know we're just speculating. It's something that I've thought about for a while now. With the introduction of ergogenic supplements, including nitrates now, like creatine nitrate and L-arginine nitrate and all these other nitrates, there is the threat of putting the heart at greater risk of working harder because of a drop in blood pressure. And when you think of these... Go ahead.
Continue your sentence.
Well, I was going to say, and when you add to that these very effective PDE5 inhibitors and... some in the athletic community are taking as much as 75 milligrams of Cialis at a time to enhance performance in the bedroom. Let's face it, anybody who's using performance enhancers in the gym is going to think, well, a performance enhancer in the bedroom is a natural thing for me to switch to. Some of these doses are very high. That person could then go the next day to the gym where Cialis has up to a 36-hour effective 50% dose effect, and so you would still be under the influence of this increase in nitric oxide to venous pressure. Then you go and you squat, and all of a sudden you have a dramatic drop in blood pressure at a time where you don't want it. It could actually put you at risk, and I'm just wondering if there's a threat for athletes who are using these PDE5 inhibitors may not understand that this can change the hemodynamics of blood pressure at a critical time where you don't want a drop in blood pressure.
Yeah, I think it certainly does. And it is also established that highly trained athletes do not really benefit from those nitrate supplements because their body is pretty capable of managing the vasodilation and the blood flow on its own very efficiently. And when you look at the current results of the latest studies, you see a picture emerges that is in previously untrained subjects, for example, nitrate supplementation appears to increase the VO2 max, while in rowers, in trained rowers, for example, in other highly trained endurance athletes, it does not, and in some it even hampers the performance. And this is actually what could happen, what you just described, that they are having a lower, they are lowering their blood pressure at a time where it's not beneficial for them by taking those nitrate supplements. And I'm not quite sure if out of this research anything real productive, if there will be any real productive thing coming out of the research we see here, because one interesting factor here is also that that the particular enzyme that's expressed here is not the one you would expect the ENOS, for example, for endothelial cells, but it's actually the neuronal nitric oxide.
Neuronal, okay.
So the one that's usually implicated in the brain. It was first identified in the neurons, and therefore called or associated with it. And we do know that more than just a single tissue or a single type of tissue can express all of these varieties. But it's still interesting because usually you don't really see this particular type being measured in the context of exercise. And now it turns out that it really figures in skeletal muscle hypertrophy. And I'm wondering that you did not already jump on the calcium issue, because that also would lead back to the effects of androgenic hormones, which also are partly mediated via their effects on the
level electrolyte pathways.
Exactly. Yes.
You might well. Let's do this. Let's take a break. I know that we didn't plan on talking about this, but this is a discussion you and I had before the beginning of the summer, that I provided the supposition that androgenic anabolic steroids affect strength through attenuation, modulation, and mediation of electrolyte pathways. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
And you found a couple studies that showed that while it wasn't necessarily in muscle tissue, I think you found one that showed that it may affect electrolyte function in the brain, anabolic androgenic steroids. So let's do this. We're just going to do a discussion. No, we don't have the science at our fingertips, and then we'll go from there to, the last topic you want to cover. Does that sound good?
Okay, sound good.
Okay. So we're talking with Adel Moussa, the brilliance behind Subversity.com. If you're not aware of Subversity.com, you're really missing out on an opportunity to dazzle your friends, shock your mom. She'll think you're so smart. She'll go, oh, my God, my son, my daughter, you're so smart. And we won't tell. We won't say it's because you're reading Subversity.com. We'll let it be our secret. Go there today, SUPPVERSITY.com. I do. We'll be right back.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You already know about Titan Organics virgin coconut oil and that Carl says it's the best in the world. Titan has raw organic honey from the Brazilian rainforest, produced under sustainable and environmentally conscious conditions. It's a creamy, non-filtered, rare honey. Or check out their 100% organic raw agave nectar from the lush, pristine farms in Tequila, Mexico. A naturally low glycemic sweetener. You can trust Titan Organics to provide the best raw products found anywhere. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com.
TitanFitness.com and save 15% off any purchase when you use the coupon code TITAN15. That's TITAN15.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay. This is, we were not prepared to talk about this, but this is something that Adele and I have talked about in the past when we have some of our discussions and we're just kind of postulating. I actually presented this concept to Dr. Mauro DiPasquale, and he did not dismiss it. While he did not have anything to truly contribute to it, he did say that it sounded plausible. So Adele and I were talking at the beginning of the summer. And at that point in time, my interests were electrolytes. And I said, is it possible that anabolic androgenic steroids increase strength by affecting electrolyte channels? Because calcium channel is responsible for muscle contractile ability. The magnesium channel and sodium channel play a role in the muscle's ability to elongate and relax muscle fibers. Clearly, if you can stimulate the calcium channel, you can increase contractile force. Is this how drugs like trenbolone and even high doses of testosterone work? And Adele went right to work and started looking around. And while there isn't a lot of research in this area, because you can't find research on anabolic androgenic steroids, especially in their ability to improve strength and contractile force, because the medical orthodoxy pays no attention to strength at all. But he did find some studies that showed that anabolic steroids, androgenic steroids, seem to affect these pathways in the brain. Do you remember that?
I'm not quite sure about the brain, but actually I did also find something on the muscular component. And I think it is plausible that they will have similar, or they could have similar effects in the brain. I think the brain effects were more related to DHT, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was DHT, right? Yeah.
At the muscular level, we have actually evidence that testosterone administration does at least in the petri dish induce the uptake of calcium and the formation of inositol triphosphate. And the interesting thing is that this alone will elicit an increase in, let's say, the amount of muscle mass, but not quantitatively as hypertrophy already. But if we are thinking about what actually caused the downline hypertrophic effect in the study we have just talked about, then this could be at least also involved in the hypertrophy effect. And it will have profound effects on the contractive ability of the muscle fiber and could, in this respect, actually contribute to the strength gains you see. And there's also some evidence for the classics in terms of performance-enhancing drugs, but only from animal science. from a study that was done on poultry, that trenbolone, for example, has a very similar effect and increases and modifies the influx and efflux of the electrolytes into the muscle. And when I'm thinking about that, I'm always thinking about how the best treatment for those lower back pains users of performance-enhancing drugs often have is high-dose taurine. And what taurine does is it facilitates the influx and efflux of calcium from the cell because it modulates the cell wall's ability to let these electrolytes in and to let them out. And this also appears to suggest that especially those highly potent anabolic steroids, which are really prone, obviously, to cause those back pumps, as people call them, must actually have some sort of effect on the influx of calcium. And if you now consider that the influx of calcium is part of this hypertrophy response we've just been talking about, this makes actually perfect sense. It could also be part of the reason why they are anabolic, or why they are so wickedly anabolic, some of them, although they are hardly androgenic. Because, interestingly enough, this effect on the muscle tissue, or on the muscle cells, I've been talking about testosterone before, how it does this in the in vitro dish, is not abolished if you block the receptor. So this is not an androgen receptor-mediated process.
Right. Well, and I remember reading a study probably 5 or 6 years ago that showed that it was one, a single case, so it wasn't a study, that a doctor provided where a young athlete showed up at the emergency room with arrhythmia and tachycardia, and he admitted to be using trenbolone acetate at 150 milligrams every other day, which is a traditional protocol for bodybuilders and so on. And the results of this particular single case study was that the doctor determined that there was a hyperexcitatory effect on the calcium channel of the heart, that when they used a drug, and I think it was a beta blocker, but I could be wrong, but they used the drug to block the calcium channel, and the heart stabilized. And so the doctor wrote that this anabolic androgenic steroid, trenbolone acetate, increased the sensitivity and excitatory effects of the calcium channel and cardiomyocytes that then produce this arrhythmia tachycardia. And that was my first. Now, the reason why this is an important discussion is because for those of you who are out there thinking about using performance-enhancing drugs, before you turn to some of these very, very powerful, very potentially dangerous when you abuse hormonal, you really need to think about electrolytes first and getting your electrolytes balanced, and also things that help, like Adele was talking about, taurine, things that help mediate, attenuate, and modulate the effectiveness of the resident electrolytes in your body that can then in turn increase strength. Do you think that's a fair assessment, Adele?
I think it is, and especially the emphasis on electrolytes for people who are doing this, for example, also to compete, because it is quite interesting. If you did a review, I would bet that you would find at least 10 times more bodybuilders having died of diuretics and not of the usual suspects, that is testosterone,
right,
rather anabolic steroid abuse, but rather of the depletion of electrolytes due to diuretics.
Right. Okay, we've contributed something new to the discussion just now, something you probably haven't heard about before, so we want to continue on this. But right now we need to move back to the Subversity Science Roundup. What is the last topic we want to talk about? We're going long today. What is critical that we work into this discussion today?
Oh, well, really critical, actually. I would say maybe it is quite fitting to talk last about the endocrine disrupting activity of bottled mineral waters.
Yes.
And especially flavored bottled mineral waters, Because when I read the title, I was shocked at first. And when I started reading the study, I was even more shocked. And then it turned out to be not as bad as I had expected
right.
at first. What the scientists did, and this is also quite important in terms of testing what all these possible endocrine disruptors do, is the way you test it. And the scientists actually tested to which degree would it activate the receptor, and compared that to the real hormones. And this gave them not only an estimate of how much is in there, but also of how large is the effect size. Compared to what you would usually see, because you can, we all know what a ZERM is, a selective estrogen receptor modulator. If you just measured that it docks to the estrogen receptor, you would say, "Oh hell, this is like estrogen. This will give me all the bad side effects, and maybe also the good side effects of estrogen." But it wouldn't, because it does not activate the receptor. So this study was different in these terms, as they really tried to elucidate the androgenic, the estrogenic, the progestational, and the glucocorticoid effects. And they did this in 42 samples of bottled mineral waters, 3 bottles each, and found actually that all of them had estrogenic effects, androgenic effects, and progestational effects. But when they then did the math on the actual exposure or the actual effect size of those compounds that are in there, they really came to the conclusion that consumed in regular amounts of, say, 1 liter per day, or maybe even 2 liters per day, at least for adult human beings, this should not really be a concern. For example, for estrogen, the exposure you would get from drinking milk would be higher, mm-hmm. At least from drinking the regular supermarket milk, I should say.
Right.
And for the androgens, this was, interestingly, already the lowest exposure, so you are not so pretty much at risk of becoming hypermuscular if you drink too much bottled mineral waters. And the same goes for the progestagens, which is still intriguing because the scientists, this specific test has one downside. You don't really know what's in there that's doing it. And so the scientists weren't really able to say whether whatever does cause this progestational effects in this water was in it already when it came from the well, or if it leached, for example, from the bottle. As far as the estrogens are concerned, they also found estrogenic activity in water that was in glass bottles. So this cannot just be an effect of the estrogens from the plastics, but must have other sources. And we all know that if you would test wastewater, you can also make an estimation of how much contraceptive pills are used mm-hmm. in the respective region where you got your water from. So, in essence, one of the take-home messages of the study is that, especially for the 3 hormonal components, it is pretty much more. The problem is not really that the compounds are in there, but the problem appears to be that no one really knows how they are getting in there. As far as the glucocorticoid activity is concerned, the scientists calculate that is still something that will not really have a decent effect or a detrimental effect on adult human beings. But they still state that of all those 4 values, the quasi-equivalent of the stress hormone is probably the one you would have to keep an eye on most, especially if you administer this bottled mineral water to children.
Interesting. And they drink a lot of mineral water in Europe, don't they? It's not as popular here in the United States, but in Europe, when you sit down to dinner, and you ask for water, they always want to serve you water with gas in it, they call it. It's generally mineral water.
Yeah. In France, you usually get without gas, sans gas. But the rest of Europe is really into drinking mineral waters. And in essence, there's nothing bad about them because you get the electrolytes from
right,
them.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you are not really sure about, and you do not even have to be concerned about the levels they found in the 42 bottles, 42 different products they tested. But it is still intriguing how even a natural product such as water is getting more and more contaminated with all sorts of things. We don't really even understand how they get in there.
Right, right. Yeah, very interesting. Now, Adele will have up on Subversity.com several things that we did not have time to cover today in the Subversity Science Roundup Seconds. Correct, Adele?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
For example, the anti-aromatized activity of nicotine at the level of the brain, which is also quite interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about nicotine, both pro and con. But, you know, you have to choose your poison, so to say. Okay, so look forward to that on subversity.com. Adele, thank you so much for all the hard work.
You're welcome.
Also, I want to thank Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish for the first hour when we did the roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. Tomorrow is Friday, which means we'll be doing a casual Friday. Thank you for listening. We'll see you then.